Welcome to the Sunday morning services at the Airport Gardens Baptist Church. This is the last Sunday of February the 24th, 1985. The Lord bless as we worship together on this beautiful Lord's Day. Now we have our children's choir, and they're going to come up right now and sing for us about two songs, I believe. If you all come right on and sing, we thank God for them and those who work with them. Our youth choir, we trust, hopefully they'll be able to sing maybe next Sunday for us, or at least the Sunday after.
Thank you.
We do appreciate the children, and we know God's able to bless them as we continue to work with them. At this time, Brother Sutton is going to come to read our scripture for us and lead us in prayer. While he's coming up to the platform, we'd like to mention these prayer requests as well as answers to prayer. As most of you all know, and I know you've been praying for my wife, Myrna. She had surgery last Wednesday, a week ago. And the doctor said, don't get out for 10 days, but she is here today. Thank God for her being able to be at church this morning. And that's certainly an answer to prayer. And continue to pray for her as she continues to gain strength. And she's hoping even to be able to help put out a garden this spring. And God certainly answered prayer on her behalf. As well as we're glad to have Ms. Burns back with us. And God bless you, Ms. Burns. And Bonnie has been in the hospital. We thank God that she's out now, and trust God to continue to bless her. And glad to see each one of you here today. God bless as we continue to pray for, also for Brother Layford Giles. Brother Layford has not been able to be at church for 3 or 4 weeks now. He's a member down at Big Creek Baptist. And be praying for Brother Layford. He still, I believe, goes to Corbin 3 days a week for treatment. Brother Layford means a lot to me. He's one of my dear friends. Also, Mike Hayes' mother is in the Hazard ARH. Be praying for her. Alice Watts. This is Eugene Field's sister. She had surgery Friday and was in the ICU, but she's out of intensive care now. I'll be praying also for Tommy Smith. Tommy Smith is in ICU, and I went to see him Friday. He is certainly needs our prayers. His family especially hold him up in prayer during this time. Continue to pray for Kathleen as she continues to go back and forth 5 days a week to Lexington. We know God's able to bless her and her family. And also Leo Feltner, who is... Is he out of the hospital now? Is your dad out of the hospital? Okay, let's continue to pray for Teresa's dad. We know God's able to bless him and Ms. Back and others listed here in the bulletin. God's certainly able to meet each need. Brother Sutton, you come and read our scripture for us and lead us in prayer, will you?
If you all might open your Bible and turn to Luke 12. Verse 15:21. And I'd like to mention, too, about the hymn we sang a while ago, We Need Thee Every Hour. I played that 2 or 3 times yesterday, making some more recordings of it. But that reflects back to me that Miss Cornett, who has gone on to be the Lord, that was one of her favorite hymns. And I'm tickling it on the bulletin this morning because I played that 2 or 3 times yesterday, making some more tape for it. And, I don't think that I can run into anyone that's supposed to don't need the Jesus every hour. I'd like to run into someone that says they don't need him every hour. Because I think that's the most beautiful hymn that we have, one of the most beautiful hymns we've got in our hymn book. Because I'd like to shake hands with somebody that says they don't need him every hour. Because I do know we need him every hour. Not today and skip tomorrow, but that's someone we need every day. Luke 12, verse 15-21. And he said unto them, Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruit? And he said, This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruit and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul that has much goods laid up for many years, take things easy, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. And whose shall these things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasures for himself and is not rich toward God. Let's go in prayer, please. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, this Sabbath day. We thank you for the day that is set aside that we can unite ourselves together in the Lord's house and ask prayers and forgiveness for the things we should have not done and be closer to thee. We pray for the sick and afflicted, the ones around about us that haven't accepted thee. We pray that our hearts be touched in a way that cause them to come to thee. And pray for the ones that should be someone here today that hasn't accepted thee. We pray their hearts will touch and come to accept thee before it's ever too late. We pray for the sick and afflicted, the one in the hospital, the one in the nursing home. We pray for the ones that lost one, lost loved ones, including my sister, right lately, last day or two. Heavenly Father, we pray that we'll give them strength and more faith in thee and be with them through their days of grief. Be with our leaders of our country as they come to close together and work together. We may have a better place to live and a better place to die as we go and travel this last mile. Go with us through the remainder of this day and forgive us where we have failed. In Christ's name we ask. Amen.
Okay, for the last hymnal, let's turn to page 234 and let's stand and sing first, second, and fourth stanzas, When We Walk with the Lord. 234.
When we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, what a glory He sheds on our way. While we do His good will, He abides with us still, and with all who will trust and obey. Trust and
message today, Tom and Fred, and you going to help them, Davey? I requested this song last Sunday night of the Gardeners to sing today, and it's a song that's meant a lot to me ever since I've heard it. He Wrote My Name, and we'd like to ask them to come and sing at this time.
The blessed Savior wrote the name when I was born again. He wrote it when he saved my soul. He wrote that I have made right my every sinful wrong. He wrote my name on heaven's roll. He wrote
ago, I had that song on 5 days, Monday through Friday, when I was on morning devotions. I played it every morning. I don't know how many of y'all heard it by the Florida Boys. I believe the Gardeners do just as good a job as the Florida Boys. It's a wonderful song, has a lot of meaning to it. Today we're going to look at person that the Bible calls a fool. One time here in the verses that Brother Sutton read for us, Jesus called this fella a fool. And we're going to look at this passage of Scripture today. And also, our key verse is found in the book of Psalms. Psalm 14 and verse 1. 14th chapter of Psalms and the first verse. I trust you'll be praying for this service this morning, that God would get the honor and glory from it, and that He would use the words that we say to magnify and lift up Jesus. Psalm 14:1 says, "The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good." The first part of this verse, Psalm 14 and verse 1, says, "The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God." There are two kinds of fools today. There are fools for the devil, and there are, as the Bible calls them, fools for Christ's sake. 1 Corinthians 4:10 says, "We are fools for Christ's sake, but you're wise in Christ." We're going to look at some things today that point out the life that a fool would live. We're going to take as our key verses, I said, Psalm 14:1. You can be ready to go to be with the Lord today. Instead of being a fool for the devil, you can be a fool for Jesus. I heard Squire Parsons on TV this morning. He is the one who wrote Beulah Land. And he sang Beulah Land today. I hope my mother was listening to that. I almost took the phone and called her about 7 o'clock. But I didn't. Afraid she might not be out of bed yet. Squire Parsons wrote this song. He might be some kin to Brother Parsons. I don't know. But what a song that is. Today you and I can be ready to go to Beulah Land. As you would trust Jesus. We can't ignore the fact today that there is a supreme being. Ever since I've been in this world, there has been winter, spring, summer, and fall. The Lord is still in control. God is still in the arrangements. In fact, the Bible tells us in Genesis, while the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, and cold and heat and summer and winter and day and night shall not cease. We have a great God in control of this universe. Sometimes we think the devil may have the world by the tail and dragging it down, but my friend, the Lord is still in control. He's still in control. Paul said, I know whom I have believed. The daily bread said one time, just knowing the facts of the gospel is not enough. One must actively place his faith in Christ to be saved. You may know the facts of the gospel, the death of Jesus, the burial of Jesus, the resurrection of Jesus. You may know that in your head, in your brain. But my friend, has it come on down into your heart? Your very life, the you that makes decisions. We must place our trust in Jesus as our own personal Savior. As our own personal Savior. The first thing about a fool that the Bible calls a fool, and I'm not one to call anyone a fool. We better not call anyone a fool. Only the Lord is capable of doing that and has the right to. But the Bible, first of all, calls a fool, a personal fool, who tries to block out of their mind the reality that there is a God, that there is God. There's God. I don't believe today there are any true atheists. It takes a real fool to ignore the reality that there is a supreme being, one who brought this world into existence. The one who denies the reality of God. The Bible says the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. I thank God today that there is a wonderful Heavenly Father who loves me, who loves you. You might have walked through the doors of our church today with a heavy weight, the cares and the problems of this world. But my friend, you can leave after this service is over with your burden lighter and your day brighter. That's the prayer of my heart today, that you'll leave lighter than when you came, spiritually speaking. Don't deny the reality that there is a wonderful Heavenly Father who loves you. The first part of John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world, He so loved you and me, that He did something about it. He knew we were lost. I visited with Brother T.H. Harding, who used to pastor First Baptist Church. I visited with him when he was here with us in revival. And as he and I visited a home up here on the top street, I still remember how he explained to this person that we were visiting. He talked about the creation of man there in the Garden of Eden. And he said sin came in and separated God and man. And man tried to get back to God by good works, but that sin still stayed right there, Brother Harding said to this person we were witnessing to. Good works couldn't get rid of it. And God sent His Son. His Son bridged the gap that God and man could have fellowship again. Sin came in and it made Adam run from God instead of running to God. Sin will cause you to run from God. There is a wonderful Heavenly Father who loves you today. And I love you today. This church loves you today. If you're here today without the Lord. So a person today is a fool who tries to say there is no God. God exists. Jerry Falwell on his program this morning, that's where I heard Beulah Land. He read a verse, Hebrews 11:6, it says, "But without faith it is impossible to please God." I have never seen God with these eyes, but someday I'm going to see Him. I have never seen Jesus, but someday I'm going to see Him. Job said, "I shall behold Him for myself and not another." If we can't please God today without faith. "For he that cometh to God must believe that he is." God is, period. Exclamation mark. God is. "And he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." Second, a fool, according to the verses Brother Sutton read for us, a fool is someone who lives only for time and ignores eternity. You know where you're going to spend most of your time? Where I'm going to spend most of my time is in eternity. We're going to be somewhere forever. Forever. There was a time when we were not, but there will never be a time when we will not be. Every one of us today are creatures of eternity. We're going somewhere. The fellow Jesus talked about it here in the parable. It says, the man said, "I will say to my soul, soul, you've got it made. Thou hast much good laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry." I want to hurry along and say this. The soul of man needs more than goods. The soul of man needs God. And you'll never be at peace with yourself or with anyone else until you know God as your Heavenly Father and Jesus as your Savior. This fellow said, "I've got it made for many years." Our soul cannot be fed on goods. Our soul needs God. A fool is someone who lives just for time and just puts out of his mind eternity. Eternity. God said, the very one he had ignored, the very one he had turned his back on. But God said, don't leave God out of your life. Whatever you do, make a place in your life for God, the one who loves you. And Jesus loves you. God said, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Thy soul shall be required of thee. I don't know when death is coming to you or to me or to anyone, but I know this is coming. I think it was Tuesday night I got a call from the hospital and they said they couldn't get in touch with a chaplain that was on duty. And so I came up to the hospital. That was the day, it was the day that the little 8-year-old child got shot. I was there talking with the mom and dad. We're creatures of eternity. That mother said to me, I am going to meet my little girl again. She said, I'm not going to be a sinner any longer. I am going to meet my little girl. My little girl is just sleeping. Don't live just for time, because my friend, time is going to run out. And we better have things fixed up for eternity, because that's where we're going. We're going into eternity. This passage here in Luke 12, I remember distinctly on the day that I preached this years ago. I preached on it several times. My dad was lying down here in the hospital, had had a stroke the day before, and time ran out for my dad that day, May the 17th, 1970, going on 15 years ago. But you know what? I'm not saying this to brag on me. I don't deserve anything. To God be the glory. The Lord helped me to come back to Airport Gardens Baptist Church that night, May the 17th, 1970. And I had planned to preach on this passage right here. And the Lord helped me. Without Him helping me, my dad had gone on to be with Jesus. I knew Dad wouldn't want me to stay at home on account of him already being in heaven. I've just been pastor here at Airport Gardens from December to May. And I appreciate the wonderful friends here in this church who were over there at the hospital with me to undergird me. My dad did not live just for time. He was only 68 years old. But time ran out. He had just been retired just a few years from the L&N Railroad. But he's up there now. And I've still been down here 15 more years almost, seeking to give out the word. Don't live just for time, because eternity is coming. I don't know when, but it's coming. Third, a fool is a person who feeds his body and neglects his soul. My friend, our body needs food, yes. And we should not neglect our body. This is the only one God's given us to live on this earth so many years. Don't neglect your body. But I want to hurry along and say, don't neglect your soul. Your soul. Feeding the body doesn't take care of the soul. And I'm glad you're here this morning to feed your soul. This man said, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. He didn't know that death would come before the rising of another sunrise. Feeding the old nature and starving the new nature is a tragedy. Isaiah said, let your soul delight itself in fatness. I'm glad the Bible says, at least in one place, not forsaken the assembling of yourselves together, as a manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more, as you see the day approaching. The fourth thing, a fool is a person who lives only for self and neglects others. The man in Luke 12 did not go down the street and say to his neighbor, neighbor, I've got an abundance of goods. I'd like for you to have some of this. I've got too much for myself. No, this fellow was wrapped up in himself. I haven't given you this saying for a while. A person wrapped up in themselves makes a very small passage. I read that in the Daily Bread maybe 20 years ago or more. A person all wrapped up in themselves makes a very small package. Don't live only for self. There are many others who need your help. We need to forget ourselves and live for others. Jesus said, he talked about calling the servants to him, and he said to them, I was in prison. I was hungry. You didn't feed me. I was thirsty. You didn't give me a drink. I was in prison and you didn't visit me. You know what? When we help others, we're in a way helping Jesus. Help someone else today along the road of life. This man used I and my 11 times as he thought about himself only. He ignored others. Jesus said before he began this parable in verse 15 of Luke 12, he said, take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not, is not made up of the abundance of the things which he possesseth. It's not made up of the things that we possess. Things will never bring happiness and joy. There was a rich young ruler came running to Jesus one day. And he wanted to know what good thing he must do to inherit eternal life. And Jesus gave him some of the Ten Commandments. And he said, all these have I kept from my youth. And Jesus said, one thing thou lackest. Go thy way. Sell what you got. Give it away to the poor. And then come, take up your cross and follow me. And I'd say one of the saddest verses in the Bible is found in Mark 10:22. And he was sad at that saying and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. The fellow here in Luke 12 had enough to last many years, but he didn't live out that night. This night thy soul shall be a part of thee. Someone said it like this. The rich young ruler of Mark 10 and the rich fool in Luke 12 and the rich man in hell of Luke 16 could very well be the same person at three stages in their life. Look where it led, the rich man. My prayer is today that you'll not end your life in hell. But that you'll come to Jesus today. The rich man here of Luke, in Luke's gospel, had all he needed in this world's goods. In God's sight, he was bankrupt. First, the Daily Bread has this. Now I'll give this in closing. He tried to satisfy his soul with such things as goods, ease, eating, drinking, and merrymaking. Second, he deceived himself into believing that he really owned his houses, barns, and money. He forgot they were just lent to him for a while. Heard someone say one time that they didn't own enough land to be buried on. God owned it all, is what he was saying. Third, he completely ignored his obligation to his fellow men, not realizing what a blessing he might have been to others with all his treasures. And finally, even though he amply planned for the future here on earth. He made no provision for eternity, as we've already pointed out here in the message. There was a tax assessor came to visit a man one time, and he said, "What do you own?" And the poor minister said, "I'm very rich. First, I have everlasting life. Second, I have a mansion in heaven. Third, I have peace that passeth all understanding. Fourth, I have joy unspeakable. Fifth, I have a faithful Christian wife. Sixth, I have healthy, obedient children. Seventh, I have loyal friends. Eighth, I have divine love that never fails. Ninth, in trial I'm comforted by songs in the night. And tenth, I have a crown of life awaiting me." The tax assessor said, "You are rich, but your property is not subject to taxation." Have you ever thought how rich you are? Rich in God. Rich in God. About 1958, we were visiting in a home down in Greer, South Carolina. There sat an old lady in a wheelchair. She didn't have any legs. They were gone. But you know what she said to us as we were there having a short service in her home, talking with her? She said, "I want to grow more like Jesus every day. Someday I'm going to see my Savior." And no doubt that wonderful lady is in heaven today. She knew the Lord. She didn't have many goods, but she had God. Do you have God in your life? If you had to meet God today, where would you go? You're going somewhere. I hope you're ready for eternity. Father, we thank Thee and praise Thee today for Your love that You've shed abroad in their hearts by the Holy Spirit. Thank Thee, Lord, for this wonderful audience today and the way they've listened. Lord, we just ask Your blessing today upon each one of them. Work out Your will, Lord, in their lives today, that we'd see someone come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their own personal Savior and Lord. Just work out Your will, Lord, in every life. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Brother Tom is going to come to lead us in our hymn of invitation, 217. I'd like for you to look up in the left-hand corner of that song. At the top it says, Charlotte Elliott. She wrote the words to this song. There was a preacher one time said to her, when she was having problems of seeming to come to the Lord, he said to her, "Charlotte, you need to come just as you are. Just as you are." And she came just as she was. And she wrote this song that's been sung at hundreds of invitations throughout the world in years past. Many, many people have come down the aisle to trust Jesus from singing this one song. Come just as you are today as we stand to sing.